Hey, welcome back again to another great episode of Transformed and Renewed. Listen, my name is Jerry Thomas Jr., and I am leading us today in a great topic that I think is a good refresher since we started this year. But before I jump into it, if this is your first time joining us, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button, okay? And then also share a comment as you watch the video. And then you may see something that you may want to comment on, feel free to do so. I definitely encourage it. And if you are returning, make sure that you show some love because I appreciate that. Okay. So, again, I am excited about tonight's topic because we're going to be talking about something that I look at as a refresher, and that is how you can pretty much establish realistic health goals for a better life. And what I mean by this is usually at the beginning of the year, sometimes it can be either at the end of a previous year or even after the year has started, some people actually start to plan their goals out. And that is always good, especially if you're really trying to be more proactive about the things that you're doing. And you're not just on this hamster wheel going through the motions. And you're not really seeing any changes. And so it's always good to plan goals, at least for me. I find it to be very helpful, especially when you're trying to track your results. And you can say, you know what? I got this out of the way. Now let me focus on to something else to where I can really put in my energy and really be useful. And so as we look at health goals, what is a good definition of health goals? Well, we understand that health is pretty much being in normal a state of mind or a good state of mind. That could be your stress levels are normal, they're not overactive, or you are not able to respond to any type of stress, but you're able to function, as well as your nutrition, your body is able to process well. Because you're taking in the proper nutrition, even when it comes to physical health, that is an aspect of health. And so it is pretty much about being in a sound state of mind, as well as your body, your physical abilities, being able to execute on even simple tasks. And that is kind of what I look at as health. And then when we look at the word goals, pretty much what are those tasks or objectives that we are looking at in terms of helping us to get to the next level or even to check off something that we may feel could be an obstacle. And sometimes goals can just be things that you want to do, but it just requires some planning because otherwise you could be working on that goal for a while. And so when I combine the two, when it comes to health goals, for different people, it can mean different things, but we are going to dive into why health goals are important. And if I can pull up a graph on this, I can actually kind of show you some numbers because I think numbers can really help us get a better picture of why this is important, at least some up-to-date numbers. But when it comes down to why, goals are important, especially as it relates to health, is because, at least in the United States, when it comes to diseases, common diseases such as cardiovascular diseases, which may include heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and then you have other issues such as cancer, you have, lung cancer, you have breast cancer, you have prostate cancer. And so there are myriads of cancers that are under that umbrella when it comes to cancer. And then you just have physical disabilities, whether you have arthritis, osteoporosis, even issues with your legs. Sometimes people may have knee problems, hip replacement, hip issues, even when it comes to your ankle, having surgery on that. And so you have all of these issues that can just occur at any point in time. And I wish I could tell you that doing everything right will prevent that. But even when you do everything right, that doesn't necessarily prevent it. But, you know, we will talk about some of these ways that you can, you know, have good health goals. But these are just some of the reasons that contribute to a lack of really being in good health. And some of these issues, you know, the other day I was actually in an appointment with my chiropractor, and there was this lady who was struggling walking, and probably about her posture, she was humped over. But when she stood up straight, I noticed that her breathing was quieter versus when she was slumped over, it was heavier. And I didn't say this, but I'm just observing because I've never seen this individual in the office before, or I'm sure it was a client. And so I was just observing, and I was just like, you know what? You know, whenever I see anybody on a cane or even a walker, I just say a prayer for that person, pray that they are able to be in their right mobility and that they are able to have their physical abilities restored, or that the Lord will help them as they are getting through their day to day. And so I just pray various prayers because I also want to make sure that I am touching and agreeing with God's word and not just trying to invoke my own word, but also bring it back to God's word. But anyway, my chiropractor was pretty much saying, you know, it's best that you really get in a good, healthy position while you're young. And he was pretty much telling me that from what he saw. And I pretty much understood what he was saying. And unfortunately, I realized even telling somebody, hey, you need to get together, that just doesn't go a long way, because I realized that people need more help than just a quick pep talk, okay? They need some actual guidance. And so here I want to do my best by showing you some information, and hopefully this can be helpful, and also that you can find this information helpful. So I'm going to just pull up a graph or some graphs, and that way we can really dive into some of this information and you can actually see that I'm not making any of this up. But we are going to dive into this. Let's see. We're going to pull up the right graph. So, let's see. And I don't want that. Yes, worldwide. Let's see. Anyway, some of these results can be mixed, and so I'm just going to share some of the results that have popped up, and we are just going to go from there. How about that? So, let's see. Pull you over here. All right, there we go. So this is actually, of course, through the CDC, and I like to at least look at information just to get a rough idea of what it's referring to. And I know that there are ways that you can graph multiple columns or tabs, but this one actually breaks it down into specific categories. And so wish that this was actually a lot better, but this actually does pull up 2019, which I really don't care to look at, but I guess it is helpful. But as we can see that, if I were to just select, let's go with cardiovascular disease. And I like to look at this every now and then just to give me some idea about the statistics in the U.S. And unfortunately, at least from what I've seen, the trends have just been going steady up when it comes to diseases, because a lot of times, a lot of diseases, such as the ones that I mentioned with cardiovascular diseases, cancers, while you do have, you know, of course, help with that in terms of you have more doctors who are finding out different studies and even doing research, that number still continues because a lot of individuals are either not making the necessary changes, you know, with their diet early on or even with their health early on in life, or people are, from what I've read in a couple of books or articles, they are living longer, but they are experiencing health issues longer. So, for example, a person can live up to 80 or 90 years old, but they could start to experience issues even as early as 50 years old, or it could be 60. So that's like 20 to 40 years plus where they are experiencing health issues. And sometimes it may not be that long, but that can just be agonizing to think about, that you are living in additional 20, 30 plus years with a health issue that can be very annoying, where you're back and forth in the hospital. Years can go by, you're all good, and then you have to go back. And some people may attribute it to life, but there are some other factors that can play a role in that. So let's check this out. And like I said, I wish that I was able to pull up a better graph to really show this, because I know this doesn't really do justice that well, but let's see. So age-adjusted cases. So this is per 100,000, and this is like 90. So let's say 10% of that is like 1,000. So that's roughly like 0.1% from 2020. And let's see. Yeah, so this is some data, but I really can't say I'm that confident in this, because I really want to see some data, at least from this year. But this is a good source to look at. And so if you're ever on the CDC's website, this is where you can find some data that does show trends when it comes to health issues. And this shows several diseases, from heart disease, diabetes, mental health, which is another issue, and then, you know, nutrition, physical activity, weight status, or otherwise known as obesity. Then you have school health. So with kids, what type of health are they experiencing? And so I would say this is probably a better graph, but so what are you doing? Okay, let's do that and zoom out. Okay, so this is a lot better, but from 2020, you can imagine that from, of course, the darker color quadrants, of course, represent areas that have higher cases. And this would be anywhere from like 250 some cases or more when it comes to cardiovascular diseases. But you can see that you don't have a ton of like areas. So out of 50 states, you pretty much have roughly about, let's see, if I'm doing the math, it roughly is about 10, maybe 11 states. That's only roughly about, what is that, about 20 some percent of states, which means that you have a little bit, I want to say 70, 80% of the US that is over or near 200,000, pretty much, cardiovascular disease cases. And let's see, this represents cases, or I guess 200, not 200,000, but 200, because it says cases per 100,000. So that would be roughly, let's say, like 1%, because 10%, what is that? Yeah, I think, doing my math in my head. So I think that could be like 0.1%, because I know 10% of that would be like 10,000. So anyway, this pretty much shows that there are areas, at least in this eastern type quadrant, southern type quadrant, where you start to see more cardiovascular disease cases. And you can always change this. So if we looked at, let's say, high cholesterol, so let's see if that number changes. And we can tell that if we see similar colors, then that means that that can kind of correlate with the graph that we see. So it's a lot lighter, but we still see similar colors in terms of high cholesterol. But this is good, because it's showing us, okay, some data about what can actually contribute to health. And again, this is one of the many ways that we can look at this. But again, it kind of goes back to the question of why is health important? And it's because when we see statistics like this, it has to really trigger something. Are we okay with these statistics? Are we just going to be a statistic ourselves? Are we fine with our family members or even people that we know of continuing down this path? Or are we going to do something? Which leads to, okay, if you say, you know what, I really don't like that analogy of even thinking about being a statistic, and yet alone, I want to be able to make a difference. And again, the chart that I showed, that is one of many graphs, and there are other graphs that also include other health issues, whether it comes to sleep, insomnia, not getting enough sleep, which can also affect your health, being stressed, so having high stress levels every day, yes, that can play a factor. Nutrition, also your physical activity, all of these are factors. And so we get back to the question of, well, how can we actually set realistic goals? And one way that we do that is by understanding, where am I at in my current health journey? Do I have any health issues? No. Okay. How do I prevent myself from having any health issues? Because even if you said, no, you don't have any health issues, it doesn't mean that you couldn't. Okay. It just means that you may not be aware of any that are prevalent at the moment, but it could be some underlying. Now, once we understand that, then we can say, okay, how should I really go about planning my health goals? Should I really focus on my nutrition? Am I doing good in areas of nutrition? And again, you can feel free to write these questions down, because these are going to help you with really developing a consistent health plan. So again, you may say, well, why don't you just give me the material? But I want to give that to you in questions, because I'm asking you the questions, which is helping you. And so once you answer the questions, you'll realize, okay, this is what I need to do. So when it comes to nutrition, if you've seen that you haven't been doing well, or let's say you may be overweight according to the BMI scale, you know, from like the height, age, and weight, you know, depending on your age and your height and your weight, it may show that you may be overweight, or you may be obese, or you may be at a normal weight, or you may be underweight. Regardless of whether it's good to know, okay, am I at a good range or BMI, or am I at a healthy weight? Can I do certain physical activities like bending, you know, walking, standing for periods of time without getting too tired? Can I run? Sometimes if you're doing a physical, you may have to run for like a minute. Not that I've done that often or at all, but some people may do that run for a minute on a physical to see what your heart level is at. And that can be also a measure of, okay, your health. And it's good to understand, okay, if I can't even walk up steps, five steps, then let me also ask another question. What is preventing me from walking up steps consistently without becoming excessively exhausted? Okay. And also thinking about, am I getting enough physical activity in? Am I really moving my joints? Because if you don't really use your joints a lot, you may find that you start to experience more issues. And I have seen this a lot, especially when people don't really do the exercises or really use their muscles, even muscles that you may not thought that you've had, but really using them, you may start to notice that you may have more issues with your arms or bones. And that is because as we age, we start to lose some muscle mass. Okay. So every age, you may not feel it right now, but just know that you are losing some muscle mass if you're not building any. And over time, we all will lose some muscle mass because it is a part of age. And even if, you know, you work out as much as you can, your muscle mass is not going to be the same compared to 10, 20, even 30 years ago. Could be. But again, when it comes down to it, we're going to lose some of the muscle mass, even some of the bone density that you may have today. And it's important that the way that we can actually sustain this is really by understanding our nutrition as well as getting that physical activity in, and even other factors such as the environment. You know, what type of air quality are we breathing in? Are we in an environment where it is productive? It's an environment that is mentally friendly. And when I say mentally friendly, an environment to where you are not really mentally stressed, you can really tolerate the environment. You don't become uneasy in the environment, because if you are working in an environment or in an environment too long, that can also affect your overall physical health, believe it or not. So what may go on in your mental state can also affect your body, and it has the propensity to do that. And so when we really think about some of these questions like nutrition, are you really practicing good nutrition, which means that you're getting the fruits and vegetables, nutrient-dense foods that are going to help support your body's processes? Because what a lot of people don't realize is that different foods can help with cellular transport, with protein synthesis, with helping you to breathe proper air in, providing you with the correct oxygen, making sure that enough oxygen flows through your blood cells and that the blood cells are circulating through your body. And these, again, are just questions that is important for you to really ask yourself when it comes to setting realistic health goals. And as well as, again, when it comes to physical activity, are you getting enough activity? Are you even exercising? And I know that some people don't really like doing certain exercises like abs, abdominal exercises. But again, once you start to do it consistently, you will start to see some results, and that can also take weight off of you. So aside from trying to be like any fitness models or anybody that you may see, this pretty much is just focusing on ensuring that you're not carrying any unnecessary weight on you. And what I mean by unnecessary weight is when you really think about some stored fat that's in your body, a lot of that could, or we may not be aware of, can be toxic. So some of that can contain toxins from different chemicals that you consume. So think about it. If you were able to go to a restaurant, you may not realize it, but in a lot of products, even if they are organic, they have had some type of synthetic material added to the plants. Because before the product came to be what it is, there was a plant, okay? Or it was either in the lab, but ideally it was a plant. And so when we really think about that, most times people don't really think about how food is handled, how it is treated prior to it going to a restaurant or even to a store. So the foods that you consume, depending on the fat content that you may have, or even if you don't, you could contain, or your body could contain, some toxic chemicals, and I'm sure it does. And how I know this is, if you consume any foods with plastic, then you likely have some plastic in you. And unfortunately, we all do, okay? Even the person who may say they are the healthiest, they have a percentage of plastic in them. And that is just unfortunate. But again, when it comes down to health goals, I don't want you to become scared about this. But again, this is one to where once we realize information, I don't want you to feel like you can't eat nothing or do anything. But this is just information to help you to understand, okay, let me really take my health seriously. And again, I hope that with these questions, they will even prompt you to really think about some additional questions you never thought about, such as, am I getting enough sleep? Okay. What am I really doing to help stimulate my mind in terms of brain activity? Sometimes you may have to incorporate brain games or activities such as strategic puzzle solving or things of that nature that is really helping your brain, because many times we can be in a stressful environment and that's not good when it comes to health goals. So your goals, what are your goals? How far do you really plan them? Sometimes you may have to start with a goal that says, you know what, for this month, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, or for 3 months, I'm going to do this. Or sometimes your goals can be long term, which I find to be quite helpful. And then you can plan some sub goals. For example, when I wanted to really get in shape, I plan the goals of saying, you know what, I am going to, for at least a month to 2 months, I'm really going to fine tune my nutrition plan to really focus on what are the vegetables that work for me in terms of consuming them often, and then the spices and the herbs, and then what type of meals can I generate from that. And then let me look at a fitness plan to really see what works with my schedule. And so you typically after the first 2 weeks, once I really got into a rhythm, I was pretty much just on a schedule and I was able to adjust. So if something came up, I was able to adjust to where I got my fitness routine in, or at least I was able to adjust for my nutrition if I was away from home and wasn't able to take a meal with me if I was gone for extended periods of time. I factored that in terms of my health goals. And so when it comes down to it, I want you to really not focus on what other people are doing. But when it comes down to it, I really want you to focus on this for a better life, or like lifestyle. And again, I know it's hard for people to separate themselves from social media, but this is you. This is your life. And so hopefully these questions can help you as you are really thinking about, okay, what should I really do to develop a health plan to really achieve some good progress with my goals over the next 3 months, or even 6 months, or it could be a year, or even 2 years. And sometimes it does take a while to see those results. But I want you to know that once you set that plan, the beauty is being able to follow that consistently and really ultimately going through that journey. So hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, I hope that I could have shared a better visual of some graphs with you. But if we do this again next time, I will be sure to do that. And while we're wrapping up, I hope that you do hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Make sure you follow us on social media everywhere but Twitter, because I don't really have an account, but TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. You can follow us there for more and the latest content. And again, family, I hope that you've enjoyed this information. And I look forward to sharing some amazing news with you very soon. But I can't break the ice just yet. But I do want you to know, keep coming back each week, because you may not want to miss out on some of this news, because it could be a blessing to you. So until next time, I hope that you enjoy your weekend or your week, and I will talk to you next time.